Constructicons, unite!
Oh, hi, this is writer Tyler Blazinski, and you are listening to All Things Transformers.
This is Megatron, and you've found the All Things Transformers frequency here at the Geekcast Radio Network. Join Steve and Mike as they unleash the beast in you and discuss All Things Transformers. Excellent! Yes!
Hello, and welcome to Altered Geek Balls.
So let's cut through the signal noise, shall we?
I haven't done an ATTF in a while, so it's...
Ladies and gentlemen, let me just say this right now. Steve and I always conflict over numbering episodes or whatever else, and I always end up screwing some of the numbers up, so does he. It's a thing podcasters do, but holy crap... It's very rare that I forget which show I'm doing.
Well, I forget because they both start with all.
Altered and all things.
They both have that same basic start. So when I get into it, the initial run is I want to go with Altered Geek.
Oh, yes. Hello, and welcome to All Things Transformers. Here we'll be talking with TFG1 Mike and Steve Megatron.
Awesome. Thank you, Megatron, for that introduction. Yes, we are here. I'm still not fully recovered from the 100 hours of work that the Top 100 Transformers Characters Countdown put me through, but I'm getting there.
The Top 100 Apocalypse.
Yeah, pretty much. Oh, boy. I will never record a Top 100 again in the middle of summer, fall, whatever. I am only recording Top 100s when it's below 60 degrees.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't terrible, per se.
You have central air, I don't, and there
yeah,
is...
Yeah, well, I mean, there's still... I mean, yeah. There's that, but there's also the fact that... Summer's typically busy for everyone.
Well, yes, no,
granted,
no,
my fall sucks in general, like every year as far as busyness. Just being swamped with everything.
Yeah. And this is why, and I don't know, this is why with the Top 100, we kind of left it off a few weeks for ATTF, and we're kind of playing catch up with the news. So any of the news that we're talking about or giving our opinions on tonight, folks, is
old.
It's old news. We are not, ever since I joined you for ATTF episode nine, because eight was the one
I did solo because I dumped the co-host.
Yeah. So I've always said we're not news breakers. You want to talk about something that's stressful in podcasting or doing video production or whatever, is trying to keep your button and your nose to the ground on what is going on in any news. Like,
well, to be fair, a lot of franchises are. Unless you're one of those geek sites that are just like up to the minute, you're behind.
Oh, yeah.
So I try to stick with just topics and content that I care about or that I find relevant. That's not like, oh, rumor mail of the day.
Yeah, no, I refuse. I think we did in the last three or four episodes that we've done news. I think we've done one rumor mill thing, but that was to do with. Your beloved, not that I don't beloved it, but your beloved Beast Wars things.
Yeah.
So, yes.
It's important.
Yes. Yes, it is. Which it just celebrated its 25th anniversary. I saw Gary Chalk on the day, I think it was September 18th or 19th or one of those. No, it's September 16th. That's what it is. It's a day. Wow. It's X number of years after G1 aired. Originally, and it's a day before the G1 anniversary. Wow. Okay. Anyway, so maybe if I find that video, I'll link it in the post. We're gonna start with some movie and TV news tonight, and I'm only mentioning this one in passing because, frankly, while it's great to have this information, it's kind of boring unless they're going to tell us, you know, why these changes, you know, what it means for Transformers for these changes. So all of the news except for one thing tonight comes from the AllSpark, AllSpark.com. Paramount Pictures officially announces its restructuring. Viacom CBS announces leadership transition at Paramount Pictures. They announced that leadership change at Paramount Pictures effective immediately. Jim Giannopoulos, chairman and CEO of Paramount Pictures, will transition oversight of Paramount to Brian Robbins, who has been appointed president and CEO of the studio in addition to maintaining his current responsibilities leading Nickelodeon. Giannopoulos will serve in an advisory role at Paramount through the end of the year to help the transition.
The funny thing with this is somebody else was supposed to be primed to take over. And then because of the merger and all the other various things going on, this individual got passed up for the promotion. And these people came right in and were like, well, we're going to appoint so-and-so to be president and CEO. And the person was like, all right, I resign. The other person, because they got snubbed on the promotion, which I would too. Like, I find that very, very horrible thing to happen. I can't remember where I read it. I think it was like Twitter or something a couple of days ago. I didn't quite catch all of the details, but yeah, this is.
Yeah,
it's especially when the person that was primed to take over was the one that was handling all of Hasbro's properties.
Mm-hmm.
And granted, I don't know. I don't know what to think about it. Like, Paramount's not made like a decent movie in years. to be honest, they really haven't. I feel like every franchise that they've got their hands on, every film that they've put out has sucked. Like, gradually more and more as time has gone on. So I don't know. It could only get better, or it could only get worse. It's you know, there's no middle ground there.
Right. Yeah.
I'm not all that hopeful with Rise of the Beast, to be honest.
You're not,
That's Michael Bay, the Cars. You know, we got Dune Buggy Bumblebee as a Camaro. Like, that makes so much sense. And then they've leaked the fact that, you know, we're going to have, for this particular scene that was being shot in Peru with Dune Buggy Bumblebee, or off-road Camaro Bumblebee, they're going to have Wheeljack, Cheetor, RC, Rhinox, Mirage, and Optimus Prime.
Yeah.
Which, again, I don't have any. I'm going to see the movie. I'm not going to see it in theater. I have no ambition to or to pay early access. I have no ambition for that either. So when it does drop, I'm just going to wait.
So we haven't talked about this off air, but next year I have a plan. And if you don't want to be involved with it, you don't have to be, but I would like to go back at some point and revisit the movies from the beginning. And the only reason why I'm saying this is because I was listening. Well, kind of, but not really. I don't know. Like, I agree with you. I'm not. Ever since the big V hit and it keeps coming back because whatever, we're not going to get into that. But ever since the virus hit and all of that, I have, unless I absolutely need something at the grocery store or whatever, I think the only non-essential item that I have bought in a store out in the public was my GameStop exclusive Funko Pop jumbo size 10-inch Soundwave figure with opening cassette door with cassettes. That's the only, like, entertainment. That's the only fun. So,
Yeah, you say that. When the pandemic hit, you know, I was kind of looking back at things that I enjoyed from a time ago.
Yes,
just to kind of, I don't know, when you're secluded to your house 24/7.
Yeah, I
had to find things to keep entertained and, you know, in good spirits. And among those was I started looking into Transformers toys again because I heard of, you know, the War for Cybertron trilogy and everything else.
Right.
Because it dropped, you know, the summer of. And so when, and then of course, getting back involved, you know, doing the panel, doing the, you know, the Earthrise when it dropped, review and everything else. And then of course, you know, learning, oh, there's new Beast Wars toys coming in the form of Kingdom, you know, different, you know, new packaging, same product.
But yeah,
it was a loser because like the toys are actually like they look good. Just the quality control sucks, but that's neither here nor there. So when that whole thing happens, so since 2021 has hit, I've been on like this hardcore like Transformers binge, and I started the year with one toy. I probably have close to 30.
Yep.
At this point. And the year is not done. I just picked up like Scorponok at only because I just happened to see it at a Target and I had a card. I was like, well, I'm only actually spending $10. So I didn't really care. Even though, you know, we'll get to the reissue stuff later, but I'm still waiting for the Kingdom Terrorsaur, the Kingdom Tigatron, and the War for Cybertron Covert Agent Ravage, which, funny enough, has already started dropping in EB Games in Canada.
Oh, wow. That's awesome.
So as soon as that Covert Agent Ravage starts hitting here, I am going to pick that up. I am going to pick up, although if I see BBTS do a pre-order, I'll probably snipe it there first.
Yeah.
And then if I cannot find it in the store for any of these, then I'll just, you know, I'll sit with BBTS. But if not, I will pick them up in the store and just cancel my pre-order like I've done previously. But so there's those three are left for this year for figures. And then we've got Legacy with a new Inferno toy and Tarantulas coming, which I'm excited for. But otherwise, like, yeah, I feel like Transformers has saved my sanity. Plus, it gave me a new hobby of painting.
Yes, you're doing some custom stuff now too, so that's very cool. Going back really quickly to this Rise of the Beasts monster truck Bumblebee or off-road Bumblebee or whatever, I think this looks cool, except I wish it was not necessarily photoshopped, but a better shot. Like, I know they don't want to give it away. I know they don't want to give the plot away or whatever kind of thing, but as far as the car goes, I just wish the picture was a little bit better than what is here. So
I'm a little curious why the driver's wearing a mask by himself.
Probably because the camera's like a foot away from him and you're supposed to stay. Anyway,
you're exempt when you're on studio time.
Oh, Lord.
I'm serious.
Tell that to all the studios that shut down last year.
Yeah, that's because, you know.
Anyway. So Rise of the Beasts Optimus Prime rolling out in Brooklyn. I seem to remember we talked about this before, and that's fine. I just wanted to bring it up again really quickly because I was getting Rise of the Beasts news to see what was new and whatever. I love the look of this Optimus. I really do. From what I've seen,
I'm really excited that they finally went back to like his old look. Instead of, I mean, yeah, did they spruce it up a little bit? Yeah, I mean, that's to be expected. They put the cage in front of him and stuff, but on a whole, like I am far more enthused with what they've started doing with Prime since the Bumblebee movie. So, you know, having this continue in that realm, I love the design of Prime.
Yep, absolutely. Moving into some TV and cartoon stuff. Can you believe it's been 20 years since 2001's Transformers Robots in Disguise.
You want to know what's funny about it? You still can't get it. Like, you cannot find it anywhere. Like, you can find a channel on YouTube that has them. Uh-huh. But other than that, there is nowhere to buy this series or to stream it. Like, come on, this is the one series that is, like, totally neutered, like, from anywhere on the net. Because I was, like, just for nostalgia's sake, I wanted to go back and see if it was as horrible as I remembered. And it's not.
Okay,
it takes some of the premise of some of the Beast Wars stuff and some of the original G1 and kind of meshes it. Yeah. And in that regard, I'm fine with it. And it's not as bad as what I remembered as a teenager, but
yeah,
it's definitely better than the Unicron trilogy.
Well, anything's better than the Unicron trilogy, even Power of the Primes. Anyway, so Transformers Robots in Disguise, 2001, 20th anniversary. What's funny about this news happening now is that I am 100 hours after the top 100, and I actually, like, I've never had, like, the one character, there are a lot of human characters in that show that kind of irk me, like the screaming lady that the Sideburn wants to get with her car, but it's a real car, it's not a... You know who I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah.
Right? The brunette who's always screaming. There's her. There's Ty. I hate Ty. I've always hated Ty.
Oh, yeah.
So my point in saying this is that when I was doing work for the Top 100 Transformers Characters Countdown, which people can hear all 11, I'm just going to round it up and say 11 hours and 30 minutes of completed published audio. I actually went back and I grabbed some stuff from Robots in Disguise, mainly the intro and outro, and mainly one of the better transition sounds. So, you know, hey, happy anniversary to those that love this series. More power to you. I'm glad you enjoy it. I don't know if I will ever go back and try to watch it myself. And again, like you've already said, unless Shout Factory puts out an actual DVD set of it or puts it on digital or whoever, whatever Hasbro wants to do with it kind of thing. Speaking of full episodes online, we can now watch all 98 episodes of the Transformers Generation 1 cartoon on the Hasbro Pulse YouTube channel legally. Without charging us. So yay.
So what you're telling me is they've made it easier for people to take.
Probably, yes.
YouTube downloaders, like.
Yes. But again, seriously.
With having it access to it on YouTube, yeah. It kind of takes away the reason for it.
Yeah. I mean, first of all, it's 2021. Shout Factory has put out multiple DVD sets of this series. TubiTV has all of it. So, you know, it's fine. It's a big deal. You know, I think it's great. I think it's for those people that love binging YouTube and that love Transformers, that want to binge the original Transformers series. I think it's great. I have, you know, Tubi and DVD sets that I can, just like you have DVD sets you can go to.
Well, see, I don't have the G1 DVD sets.
Okay.
I never got the complete set.
Mm-hmm.
So I just had, like, rips that my brother gave me years ago.
Right, yeah.
Like, years ago, like, early 2000s, back, you know, those days.
Yeah.
So the quality is terrible. And,
yeah.
And in all honesty, like, if I watched it more, I would probably buy the DVD sets.
Yeah.
For how infrequent I watch it, Tubi is just fine.
Yeah. I mean, I love that it's on Tubi, and Tubi is more than fine for me now. When Shout Factory was originally putting out the DVD sets, when they were putting out the Matrix set, as a DVD collector at the time, I wanted it so badly. But right now, and over the last, I would say, 5 years or more, at least 8 years since the pull bag started, I want my shit online. And I know that's hard to do sometimes with rights and whatever else, but they've done it. So, you know, it is what it is. I'm glad that it's on YouTube. I'm glad people can have access to it, even though Tubi is free as well. Tubi is essentially YouTube, but for TV shows only. It's not, you know, creator-owned. It's not like PIA doing a review of something, or it's not like Transmissions putting out one of their podcasts on YouTube. It's not like us putting one of our podcasts on. It's just television shows, and there are some ads and whatever. Anyway, moving on over to toy news, we've got an article for me and an article for you. First up for me, Transformers Generations Shattered Glass Collection Jetfire in-hand images. I am a fan of Shattered Glass. I will always be a fan of Shattered Glass. And anytime you put any robot, Autobot, Decepticon, Maximal Predacon in black and purple, I am all for it and right there with you. And Jetfire looks amazing.
Yeah, I won't deny that. He does look great as, yes, as Shattered Glass. Now, what I would love to see, and this is just, like, weird, Beast Wars Shattered Glass.
That would be.
Just because that, I just want to, yeah, see the stark differences. I mean, yeah, with, yeah, Shadowmaster, we get a difference of what Cheetor would look like. But as far as the others, like, I mean, yeah, and we got Nemesis Primal. But on a whole, like, I'm kind of curious to see how some of it would be look.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I do love that they have the, on Jetfire here, they have obviously the evil Autobot purple symbol, but he can also switch it to the heroic red Decepticon symbol. I love that that's there.
Because he switched sides.
Right. However, though, I think the red just doesn't look right, or it because the rest of the figure is so black, purple, and green, the red sticks out like a sore M&M to me. I don't know. Otherwise, though, if I had this toy, I would be keeping it in Shattered Glass purple Autobot.
Well, and, yeah, naturally you would. I mean, yeah, you're a huge fan of the color purple. Like, mm-hmm, I like red. So the red resonates better with me.
Right.
Or if I have like Altered Geeks colors with like orange, mm-hmm, and blue, which, yep, funny enough, that might be what my office looks like. Got to get a giant like glow, like printout of vinyl stickers of all the logos for the podcast and drape them across the room. But
that's awesome.
That would be very cool.
Yes, it would.
So, yeah, we've got the first look at Transformers Beast Wars Vintage Scorponok. And I mean, I should have known this was coming, you know, with them doing the vintage Cheetor, Rat Trap, Primal, and Megatron, although it's like a 150% markup,
mm-hmm,
maybe 200% depending on the figure. Because like back in the day, the original Primal in Megatron was $20, and now they're, mm-hmm, like $50. And yeah, Cheetor was $9.99, and now he's $22.99. And Rat Trap was $5.99, and now he's $22.99. So I've heard that they had to reconstruct the mold for that, which, okay, I guess, but the whole vintage thing, I get it, and I love the fact that they gave Megatron a little bit better coloring to kind of, mm-hmm, fit with his Beast Wars aesthetic, because like he had these weird colorations on certain parts of his body, and they recolored it just to kind of give it a little bit amplified look, and they did that with this Scorponok as well. Instead of being black, he's gray, and some of the stuff that was red before is now purple, or now the shaded colors, some of the stuff that was like bright purple is, mm-hmm, that kind of off, like, dusted purple. So if you don't have the current Scorponok for this line, mm-hmm, this one actually looks like the show by comparison to the, well, I mean, just how he looks in beast mode, how he looks in robot mode actually looks better than the kingdom figure. The kingdom figure, to be honest, he's way too short to scale. You have to buy leg extenders on eBay, and I just can't bring myself to spend $12 on leg extenders, so I'm gonna live with it, but especially when some of the old figures, like the old Tarantulas, aren't up to scale either. But I'm not a big scale freak, but I would have preferred to have had the original Scorponok and then just pop the kingdom head on in this instance. But I did read too that we're supposed to get a reissue of Tarantulas, despite him getting a kingdom figure, a reissue of Pterosaur, a reissue of Canine, which is an odd choice of a figure considering he's not even in the show.
Right.
Like I would have seen, like, I feel like there's more love for Polar Claw than Canine, but I guess to each their own.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. I know of Polar Claw. I've never heard of Canine, so I...
Yeah, Polar Claw was... He was kind of the one that went opposite of Scorponok because he had... instead of the Cyber Bee that launched from one of his beast limbs, he launched a bat, a cyber bat. And I don't know. He was a pretty cool toy. I would have liked to have seen that. And I guess that almost made it to Kingdom, but it got shifted in order to do Rhinox. So,
interesting.
Well, as far as like some of the engineering, and then Tigatron actually beat him out too. So it was, it was really weird how they had that whole thing go down. But yeah, I don't know. I'm fine with the reissues and then them, you know, updating some of the look. I'm waiting for the Transmetal reissues.
Yes, yes, you are.
Because I think that if they could just redo the head sculpt of the Transmetal Megatron, that's all it really needs. That figure is like pristine if it didn't shatter because of brittle plastic. But I would love to get my hands on one that's not junk. And then I would repaint it and, you know, do what I did with this one. But there's a lot of great toys coming, in addition to the fact that a new Waspinator and Shadow Panther are out.
Yeah. Going over to gaming news really quick before we get into comics. Hasbro opens brand new division to develop AAA game titles, now hiring. So, Wizards of the Coast division of Hasbro has started a new digital games division called New Raleigh Durham Studio.
That's a mouthful.
Okay, sure. Name your studio whatever you want to name it, I guess, that will develop AAA game titles based on Hasbro properties. NRD Studio will also be led by game industry veterans from companies like WB Games, and others. For their first project, they will be doing a G.I. Joe set as a third-person action-adventure game. The studio is now hiring for various positions that you can find linked below. Be sure to discuss this in the boards and whatever else. And they're looking for an art director, lead animator, lead game designer, and technical director.
Do they need a Chris Latta sound-alike?
It says nothing about voice actors.
I know. I hope that they do like go the Arkham route with this.
Yes.
Because I feel like it would have such massive potential.
Well, a third person shooter G.I. Joe game, like, I don't even, I'm not, folks, let me tell you, I've mentioned this before in the last 13 years of this podcast. I made a choice when I was 5 or 6 years old. I chose Transformers. I saw G.I. Joe Real American Hero episodes. I like those characters, but I have never actually seen the whole series through. I don't dislike that cartoon. I don't dislike the G.I. Joe franchise. I am not Mike Irizarry and the What's on Joe Mind crew level of love for G.I. Joe. I enjoy what I've seen of it, but I'm not as invested in it as I am with Transformers. However, I think it's awesome because I don't remember the last time we had a G.I. Joe game. And now that I've said that, whoever is listening to this that is like, well, it happened in blah, blah, blah. And that's fine. That's great. That's awesome. Show it to me. I'll watch it. If it, you know, if we've even ever had a G.I. Joe video game, I don't know. I don't remember. I'm sure because it's the movies we've had something, but I think this is really cool. I think this is going to be interesting.
Hey, I'm Gary.
I'm Mike.
I'm Chuck.
And I'm Justin.
Join the four of us every week on the internet's number one and longest running G.I. Joe podcast, What's on Joe Mind?
It's Joe news, reviews, and interviews like you've never heard them before, delivered right to your MP3 player.
Our guests include Jason Marsden, Kevin Michael Richardson, and Matt Yang King from G.I. Joe Renegades, Larry Hama, Robert Adkins, and John Barber from IDW Publishing, and many more from around the online Joe community.
Yeah, it's guys talking about Joe. Think of it as Joe Talk meets Sports Talk. And we make fun of Chuck.
Right, and we... Hey, again?
Come on, Chuck. We're just kidding, kinda.
Sometimes Chuck makes fun of himself.
Right, and we... Okay, seriously, this is just getting ridiculous now.
It's What's on Joe Mind, every week on the Geekcast Radio Network, InsidePulse.com, Stitcher Smart Radio, and iTunes. Download and listen today.
I suppose I still can't say something about Transformers, can I?
Good.
No.
What about sports?
That sounds good.
Yeah, that's all right.
Yeah, I at first when I was reading this, I was like, what are they going to make, another card game? But with a video game of it, I could see this. I could see this going well. I honestly would be a big fan of a new Transformers game that, you know, High Moon Studios was the last one to do a decent Transformers game.
Mm-hmm.
And then before that was the Transformers Armada game on the PlayStation 2.
Yep.
Which was, to be honest, that was really good.
Yes, it was.
But War for Cybertron games were better in a different way. But I definitely would love to see something in those realms again for Transformers and for G.I. Joe, for that matter.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. All right, folks, it's comics time. Yay. These are the December 2021 solicits. So these are all things that are coming out in December. Some will be advanced solicits because they're trades, which are not coming out until 2022. First up, we have Transformers number 38, written by Brian Ruckley, art by Anna Malkova. Darkness, once gazed upon as a rescue mission to Iacon as RC, Windblade, Chromia, and Smokescreen link up with two long-lost allies left in the city. Their goal? To rescue a captured Autobot general, but things are never easy when Swindle's involved. Very, very cool. Beast Wars number 11, written by Eric Burnham, art by Josh Burcham. Maximals Strike Back Part 2. The throwdown kicks into high gear as the mighty Maximals tangle with the treacherous Predacons. Optimus Primal versus Scold, Razor Beast versus Pterosaur, Dinobot versus Megatron. Don't miss the massive midpoint of this three-part battle royale. I have not been keeping up with the miniseries that they are doing called Transformers King Grimlock, but here is the fifth issue of five, written by Steve Orlando, art by Augustin Padilla. The epic conclusion to King Grimlock. Grimlock faces off against his greatest opponent yet, the Sun God of... Oh, wow. I need to start reading the series. The Sun God of Minonia. Holy crap, Solatron. Wow. One G1 episode I never really, really watched, and I know TV's Mr. Neal has it in his truncated G1 continuity season 3 playlist, but Minonia was the thing that Daniel and Grimlock fell into, I want to say, in Fight or Flee. No, that's the sandstorm. Anyway, but wow, that's awesome. Anyway, but first, he'll have to get past Solatron's newest acolyte, his own former student, Arco, It's the battle for not just the kingdom, but the whole world. And then we have the fifth of five for Shattered Glass, written by Danny Lohr, art by Guido Guidi. In issue 5, Jetfire's loyalties are tested when Goldbug asks him to commit the ultimate sacrifice in the name of the Autobots. His decision results in a Cybertron-shattering event and an epic conclusion to Shards. And then the last one we have, I believe... No, we get two more. Let's see, we have Transformers the IDW Collection Phase 3 Volume 2. This collects Transformers Tolalar 1, issues 9 through 12, Transformers Optimus Prime, issues 1 through 6, and Transformers Lost Light, issues 1 through 7. The only reason why I'm bringing this up is because I love what I know IDW has been in trouble lately because of finances and things like that, and leaving Diamond and all that, you know, drama. But I have always loved the IDW collection books because they put them in recommended reading order. You know, they put them in story order. So they're hardcover, big, you know, collection. You know, you can put it on a shelf and enjoy it, or you can pick it up and, you know, break your wrist trying to read it. I love it, though, because I love that they're doing this in story order, and that is so cool. And the last one we have is another miniseries that are doing, Transformers Wreckers Tread and Circuits, number 3 of 4, written by David Mariette, art by Jack Lawrence. The race is on, the Speedia 500 has begun, and the Wreckers are doing their best to keep up with the finest racers from across Velocitron. But following an explosion, it's mayhem on the track as an assault is launched on the race. Can the Wreckers maintain their cover and take down their foes, or will they both be wrecked and ruled? Okay, so these don't ever look at the comments, folks. I have to remember that. Don't ever look at the comments. This last story, part of it, the solicitations I just read, I got directly from IDW server because they give them out every month to those of us who are on their press server. I wanted to see if one of the Transformers websites had the covers, at least some of the covers for each of these releases that are coming. And the one place I found them is tfw2005.com. Don't ever look at the comments, folks, because they are, like, I can critique covers and I can not like covers, but people on this link that will be in the show notes and in our post, ooh, man, it looks like children are drawing these, or kids can do better than that. I'm like, really? Seriously?
Oh, that's all right. In the... In a Discord that I'm in, people were critiquing Josh Burcham doing the Beast Wars stuff, yeah, and were complaining about it and saying that, oh, it's not very good, blah, blah, blah. Like, it's like, it's a different style. Like, get over it. They'll change people periodically anyway. Like,
yeah.
And then they're saying that the current drawer of the Beast Wars stuff is boring. So I'm like, it's either not unique enough or it's boring. Like, it's, yeah. I don't know.
I like the Megatron cover for issue 38. I like the Soundwave Optimus Prime. I like the Soundwave Optimus Prime cover more for issue 38 of Transformers. There are three Beast Wars covers shown here. We have Scold, which I think looks awesome, and I can't wait for issue 11 to see more of her story, like we've been saying on this podcast, as well as the Pullbag and Beast Unleashed. I love the Scold cover, but I really dig the Optimus Prime character head cover. I believe it's cover B. I really dig cover B. And then the retailer incentive cover is Rat Trap sitting in a what looks like a Decepticon logo chair. That is awesome. What do you think of these covers? Do you have a favorite from any of these?
Well, of course I like the Beast Wars stuff, but no, I mean I like the I like the covers of Megatron on the initial one with where it looks like he's squashing Magnus.
Oh, yep.
I like the one with Prime and Soundwave. I like the one with all the beasts in the jungle with that kind of that hue behind them. Mm-hmm. It's just kind of this nice natural look. Rat Trap lounging, you can tell that's Bertram. Which I still like it. I don't care.
Yeah, that's awesome.
But and then the Shattered Glass with the Shattered Glass Megatron, which is basically War for Cybertron mixed with Energon Megatron to get that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then the Wreckers issue
3.
Yeah, but the second cover, the one with
with them transforming into robot mode.
Yes, but that's also because the guy that's in the middle, I can't remember his name, his official name. But they used him. He was a G2 toy that they repurposed as Machine Wars Optimus Prime.
Mm-hmm.
And I just like the design and the characterization. I would have loved to have seen a Machine Wars comic.
Hey, you never know, man.
That is kind of my pipe dream here, because I thoroughly enjoyed the Machine Wars toys. Like they gave me the level of quality I was expecting since having Beast Wars at that time, and mm-hmm. but getting it in the G1 packaging, like almost right. It was kind of a neat concept, and I wish they would have ran with it, because just the designs, like Megatron was a jet, and then he had a clone, which was kind of the decoy, and then, you know, Starscream's this like conglomerate, like huge mega jet, and I don't know, I just love the whole premise of it, so I would have loved to have seen it become actual media.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it would have been really cool if we had Machine Wars. For me, I always liked Transtech. I don't know why, but ever since I saw, say what you will about the man, I still like him. I still would love to interview him one of these days. Derek J. Wyatt's designs on Animated, I still love his reuse of Blur as Cheetor. And the Cheetor Transtech design for Anna. Oh, that looks so cool.
Well, I didn't mind Derek's versions. The original ones we were supposed to get, I was not a fan.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, we're plugging away here at All Things Transformers. Next episode is our 250th episode, and I don't have any plans yet, and I don't know if you have any plans, but I want to do something. I just want to 250 episodes. I mean, there have been plenty of times where the show was going to head into oblivion. So, and it just, you know, like the indestructible spark that Starscream is, you know, it just keeps coming back. And I want to do more Transformer Origins episodes in the future. Obviously, we have the comics with the Beast Wars comic and things like that that we'll be doing. So, yeah, I'm just having a blast trying to catch up on everything. I'm about to start, as of this recording, by the time this goes up, I will be in the middle of it. I'm about to start editing episode 113 of ToyCast, which is my own Origins in Toy Collection story. I told Karen earlier today, again, as of this recording, September 27th, 2021, I said, I'm really dreading editing episode 113 of ToyCast. She goes, why? I said, because it's my buddy Josh, who is one of the new co-hosts with me over on ToyCast. He is interviewing me like I interviewed you, Steve, for ToyCast Origins. And I'm like, I know my story. Why do I want to listen to my own damn story while I'm like, oh. But that's my process. I have to listen to every second of audio to make sure it's just right. I will say, though, episode 112 of ToyCast with Rodimus Primal, I loved recording that with him, getting his origins and toy collections. I did not remove every single and ah and whatever. I just couldn't. What are you looking forward to in Transformers currently?
Oh, I'm looking forward to the toys. I that and seeing what they come up with for the next series. But ultimately, I'm looking forward to the toys. I'm waiting to get my hands on Tigatron, and that's kind of my main go-to right now.
Yeah, any of our Canadian listeners, if we have any listeners in Canada, I'm poor, so if anyone wants to send me a Covert Agent Ravage for review.
Covert Agent Ravage at your service.
Granted,
my
the review
cat just meowed at me. she's like,
I am Covert Agent Ravage.
That's funny.
Oh, she's giving me a dirty look for that one. She does not like me pretending to be a Russian cat.
Oh man, that's so crazy. Anything else you want to bring up before we get the heck out of here?
Nope. Just like I said, just excited for the toys, and I mean obviously the comics too, and you know, eventually some good media again. But overall, like I still have nostalgia I can fall back upon.
Yes. The one thing I want, and I hope anybody at Hasbro who is on the Transformers teams, whatever teams, you know, I have to talk to, whomever, if I have to start commenting on the Fan First Fridays or whatever, what I really, really want is a Beast Wars and Beast Machines score release.
Yes.
Talk to La La Land Records. Talk to whomever you have to talk to.
Yeah, I think
don't
unfortunately
know.
It's Mainframe.
Okay, but I'm just saying, you know.
And they're not very friendly.
Yeah, well.
They dumped a lot of their files, so they should talk to Bob Buckley.
Yeah, look here.
Scored it.
Right, exactly. Bob Buckley. We would love to have him on the show. Look here, folks. If they can find long-lost Superman 78 things to put in a DVD, a bonus DVD feature, or a long-lost reel-to-reel, you know, copy of whatever, they could, you know, files may be lost on Mainframe's end, but I would think Bob Buckley creating the score, doing the scores, I would think he would want to hold on to that, like... I don't know. I don't know the man, whatever. I'm just saying, after going through the top 100 Transformers characters countdown and listening to all of the Beast Wars audio, the Beast Machines audio, I'm like, I want this music outside of this show.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I would listen to that.
Absolutely. Oh, that was the other interesting thing I wanted to bring up. Thank you so much for reminding me. You didn't, but you did. There was I'll have to find the video. I found, thanks to the Triple Takeover podcast, I found a Transformers 2007 Transformers the Bay movies.
Mm-hmm.
In sound only. Okay, the sound of Transformers. I have the video right here. Basically, they've taken various clips of all of the films, I believe. This was done up... it's done by Art of the Film on YouTube. And it was... I just want to click on this really quickly. It was it was put on YouTube March 12th of 2016. So they don't have all the films, but they have a number of them. But it's basically watching various scenes of the movies with just the sound effects. No vocals, no music, no nothing. And you know how I am. One of these days I'm not going to be able to podcast because I'm going to be so damn deaf. I will literally lose my hearing because I love putting on my JVC headphones and turning it up to like 94-96% on the volume and just listening to stuff. Listening to this was so friggin' cool, and I will definitely be embedding this in the post so people can check this out. This is so cool. You say what you will about the Bay films. I don't care, folks. This was freaking cool.
Yes.
All right. So, where can the people find you online, sir?
Well, they can find me on the Twitters at SCP21.
Don't you have another one you want to promote too?
At All Things TFV3.
That's for the show, but don't you have another one you want to promote? You just followed me, you voice actor, you.
Oh yes, my other Twitter.
My one for voice acting.
I'm trying to help you get.
Yes, I know. I know. Yep. It's at Steve Phillips VO.
See, there you go. And now I'm just gonna start writing that in the outro every time, because I didn't actually do the outro this time, folks. You can find All Things Transformers on Spotify, on iTunes, on any podcatching client you choose to use. I am at TF2 and Mike on Twitter. Like I said, coming up next, I want to do something fun. I want us to, celebrate 250 episodes of the show, kind of thing. And I don't know what that's going to be yet. I'm not sure. Maybe we'll be in a 7-hour recording session with Proto Man telling his All Things Transformers origin story. I don't know. I haven't talked to the man yet. The other thing we should bring up, since this is going to be released soon-ish, is that we are in the midst of another Transformers film in theater with the 35th anniversary of Transformers the movie being in a, fandom? I don't know. It's one of these, one night only deals in theaters kind of thing. And they're showing the 35th anniversary version that Shout Factory put out. So people have been going to that. I've seen like the Hollywood premiere version where both Stan Bush and Vince DiCola showed up. Dan Gilvezan showed up. A bunch of other people showed up. So I'm very happy that people are getting to see the 35th anniversary version on the big screen. I saw the 30th anniversary version. Like we said at the beginning of this show, I'm not a movie theater goer anymore. I would much rather just click on it at home and watch it on my own time. You got any advice for the listeners tonight, Megatron?
No. Just watch Beast Wars. And remember, when you make your top 100 list, keep me on it.
Oh yeah, you'll be on it at number 99.
Ha ha ha. Yeah. And then Rodimus dies of cosmic rust at 100.
At least he made it. Unlike, I think we talked about this in part 6 of the, in the wrap of the top 100, but I am really surprised that Wheelie did not make it.
I am too. That was odd. I was really confused why he didn't make it, like, because everybody's like, oh, well, Wheelie is our friend. We have to behave for Wheelie and have Wheelie and everything and, Wheelie and...
It's really, really bad. You just happy what?
I just was really happy he wasn't there.
Okay, on that note, folks, transform and transcend, and we will catch you next time on All Things Transformers. Whatever Megatron wants to say.
Hello, this is Megatron, and you're listening to All Things Transformers.
I don't know. What?
Count Dracula.
Aw, do you need a hug?
Megatron, terrorize! Only on All Things Transformers. Excellent, yes.